from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Caspick. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up on today's show, we are going to discuss some odds and ends. The Giants had an off day yesterday, so we don't have a game to discuss, but there are a few key notes to get into on the show today. We are going to talk about the fact that I think that the Giants have been covered unfairly thus far this season, and a lot of it stems from having unrealistic expectations. Then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the fact that Eric Kratz was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays, Aramis Garcia was optioned to Sacramento, there was some Pablo Sandoval All-Star talk, which I want to mention and get into, and then briefly talk about the fact that the Giants' top prospect list came out on FanGraphs, and the fact that the draft is upon us, and that's going to be a huge deal for the Giants moving forward. We're quickly going to shift our attention here on this show as the season has unfolded, and it's going to become more about the draft and potential trades and less about trying to compete, it would seem. And so the reason for that, and we'll just jump right into it, is that the Giants are 18-24, 9.5 games out of first place in the National League West, and 5 games out of a wild card spot, but they have 7 teams above them who are closer to claiming a wild card spot than they are. So really, there's 9 teams ahead of them in this wild card race. So reality is setting in. Like, this team is dwelling in the cellar. Do they have a chance? Could everything go right and they could have some kind of success in terms of wins and losses this year? Of course, that can happen to any team pretty much. But I think a lot of the frustration and the weird coverage we've been getting about the Giants and about grading Farhan Zaidi so far this season has been caused by flawed expectations. And I don't know where those expectations were coming from exactly. I mean, it has to be from the fact that this core has had so much success in the past. But coming into the season, I mean, I saw plenty of predictions that they were going to contend for a wild card spot, but the Giants have done nothing to warrant that that should be what we expect. Talking yesterday, there was another article that came out about how confusion is what has characterize the Giants season thus far. And it's more like, to me, the writers are confused about what's going on. They were delusional about the chances of this team. And now the confusion they have is they're not used to the way that someone like Farhan Zaidi operates. This team was not supposed to do well, and they have a huge task ahead of them to get back to contention, and it was always most likely to take years. Even just yesterday, somebody said that he didn't think they were multiple years away from competing, which I think is, again, crazy. If everything goes right and they just hit on a bunch of guys and find diamonds in the rough and then sign some players to deals that turn out to be massive bargains, then you could think about next year having a semi-competitive team. I think you'll start to see more and more promise as we progress in this season, as the draft comes and goes, as some trades happen, and then we'll see some of the fruits of that maybe late in this season, in next season for sure, and then in 2021, I think you're really going to see some of it all coming together and the start of a new window beginning to appear on the horizon. But unfortunately, that's not what the coverage of this team has been about. It's been about, like, wow, they're not good. What is wrong with Farhan Zaidi? Like, what is his vision? What is his discernible plan? We don't see it. We don't understand. It's very confusing, and the players don't like it. Well, the players are the ones who are at fault here. I mean, the veterans on the Giants are not producing. So even if the Giants had signed Bryce Harper, Adam Jones, I mean, they had Andrew McCutchen last season, who's definitely a better player at this point in his career than Adam Jones. And just think about it in terms of what contracts did they get. Adam Jones got a 1-year, $3 million contract from the Diamondbacks, and Andrew McCutchen was a free agent last year as well, and he got like a 3-year, $60 million deal. So that's a player the Giants actually had last season, and they were still bad. I get it, some players were injured and some guys were underperforming, but that's just the name of the game. Players are always going to be injured or underperforming. There's never a season, or it's at least a very rare thing, when everybody's healthy and performing up to the highest level of expectations that you would have. That's why you need to have really good depth, which the Giants historically have absolutely not had. So to blame their past failures these last few years on injuries is just wrong, in my opinion. The fact is, they have an aging core. They're tied up long-term to several guys who are underperforming and only figure to get worse. They have not had depth. They do not have talent coming up through the minors to fill in when guys are not performing. It was one of the worst roster situations in Major League Baseball that Farhan Zaidi inherited. And all along, the expectation should have been, we don't expect them to compete, and we do expect them to just cycle through a bunch of players trying to find diamonds in the rough. Because it's not easy to acquire young, cheap, talented future pieces. Like, it's just not that simple. The fact that they haven't necessarily done that yet says nothing about incompetence by the front office. It says more about the fact that those are the most highly coveted pieces in the game of baseball, and they weren't able to swing a trade for, say, Madison Bumgarner or Will Smith in the offseason, and maybe they didn't want to because they had designs on trying to compete. Because let's face it, a lot of that probably had to do with ownership wanting to at least try, and with Bruce Bochy being in his final year, they said, listen, Boch, we're going to give you one last chance to go out there and do whatever we can to try to win, but we're not going to sacrifice the future to do it. We're not going to trade away what very little prospect capital we have left for an aging veteran signed for multiple seasons into his decline years like they did with Longoria. That type of thing just absolutely didn't make sense. And that would be gross incompetence by the front office if they had mortgaged the future again to try to push in all their chips in 2019. So instead, they got guys who were very, very little risk on really short-term, cheap contracts, hoping that it would work out. And for those particular veterans like Parra and Solarte, it just absolutely didn't. And so they're cycling through guys rather quickly. So last point before we move on to the second segment is that Mike Elias from the Houston Astros took over as the general manager of the Baltimore Orioles this offseason. Just like Farhan Zaidi, the Orioles were seeking a new person to fill in to run their front office. He has a different title. He's the GM, and Farhan Zaidi is the president of baseball operations. But, you know, Elias took over a situation that everybody knew was one of the worst roster situations in MLB, and the Orioles have been really bad this season, and nobody should be surprised about that, just like no one should be surprised about the Giants not having fixed all of their problems just because they have a new guy running the show for a couple of months. So I don't know exactly how to explain why Giants fans have such a different idea about expectations from this team than what the Orioles have. I guess it's because they've had success in the past. But from the 2016 All-Star break through 2018, the Giants and the Orioles were separated by 7 losses. Expectations were reasonable in Baltimore, but for some reason, the local reporting on the San Francisco Giants has been not up to that same standard. I looked for articles written about like an early report card for Mike Elias and found one that was written just the other day, and some of the things that they had to say about him were like exactly what people are kind of describing what Farhan Zaidi is doing. The Orioles have made like 41 roster transactions already this season. They've used the most pitchers in MLB. The author of that article said that there's definitely a win now mentality in the way that they're not afraid to cut ties with struggling players. And the author also said some of the fiddling has worked. These particular players have been good, and some of the other moves have not worked. Like, these particular players were brought in but have been really struggling. So to me, it's like they're describing the exact same thing that Farhan Zaidi is doing, just shuffling through, looking for players who stick. That is how you have to transform a roster, that the type of roster situation that the Giants are in, the same similar type of situation that the Orioles are in. And then, of course, the draft and the trades of key players is going to play a huge role in this rebuild. So that's a little bit more of what we're going to talk about in the second half. That, along with the fact that Eric Kratz was traded to the Rays, Aramis Garcia was optioned, there was some Pablo Sandoval All-Star talk, which I want to get into, So that's all coming up in the second half. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to talk about Eric Kratz, Aramis Garcia, Pablo Sandoval, Giants prospect list, and the MLB draft, which is in just a couple of weeks. So the point about Kratz is that he was designated for assignment, and then the Giants were able to trade him to the Rays along with cash for a player to be named later or cash consideration. So that sounds confusing, but the fact is, the fact that the Giants included cash in the deal might mean that they get a better prospect in return. And so they're going to get something most likely for Eric Kratz, who a lot of Giants fans and the reporters were just nothing but harsh about since the moment he showed up. The fact is about Kratz is that he's a good defensive catcher and a good pitch framer, and he had value to a smart team like the Tampa Bay Rays. The other fact is that Aramis Garcia was optioned to AAA, and I've seen a lot of confusion about why would the Giants send down someone who's done so well in his major league career, hitting 275, 306 on base, 507 slugging. That's 19% above average. That's good. But the other fact is he's struck out almost 50% of the time, which is just absolutely not something you can do and sustain that type of batting line. He has a 483 average on balls in play as a major leaguer in 22 games. So that is, again, something that's absolutely unsustainable. So the performance thus far, I'm not saying he can't be a good player. I'm not saying that at all, but there's no reason to read into the 2019 and 2018 numbers and say that anything about it looks sustainable. The last thing of note is that the Giants' top 29 prospects list came out on Fangraphs, and it's definitely worth a read. You should check it out. They have Joey Bart, no surprise, listed at number one, Elliot Ramos, number two, Marco Luciano, number three. There's a lot of interesting names on this list, and guys like Ramos and Luciano are high ceiling guys who just have, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see what they become. Especially the write-up of Luciano is very exciting. They think he could be a superstar level shortstop with extreme power, but he's only 17 years old at this point in time. So it is an improving farm system. This write-up is definitely worth a read for anyone interested in the Giants and especially Giants prospects. But on that note, it's like, a huge part of the Giants' future is going to come down to the upcoming draft, which is in just like 2 weeks and a few days, and then trading of key assets like potentially Will Smith and Madison Bumgarner, maybe Sam Dyson. This is going to say a lot about the future of the Giants, what kind of returns they're able to get in these trades. So that's really going to be the shift in focus as the next couple of months unfold. So that's also why these upcoming games are so important. The Giants' season is kind of slipping away. Like, if they don't start playing better, at least playing more like 500 baseball, and they fall further and further behind, there's just no doubt they're going to be in a full-blown sell-off. So if they have designs of winning, it's really going to have to start right now They play the Diamondbacks on the road, then they come right back home for another homestand. And then when they go back on the road, they play the Marlins and the Orioles, two of the worst teams in MLB. So this is a huge stretch of like 3 weeks for the Giants up until the draft. So that is all the time we have for today. Remember, this is a daily show with episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to listen and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. We'll be back with another episode on Monday, recapping this weekend series against the Diamondbacks. I cannot wait, and until then, we'll see you next time.